The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. 770-5633. We're going to be talking with Kevin Sterrett in a few minutes about the Department of Defense changing around lethal force on the continental U.S. Matt's here. Hey, Matt. What's on your mind?
Hey, Bill. First of all,
Hey, could you reposition your phone? Hey, we're losing your cell again, Matt. Go ahead.
I'll try. You know what? I'll try. I think what happened is in my office, you know, I'll come out. Hey, so I heard that you're going to be talking at the Republican Party headquarters tomorrow.
Yes.
Yeah. Looking forward to hearing that. I'm assuming we'll cover some of the same things we covered in the last week or so.
Yeah, I know something which has concerned me about voter turnout, and have I talked with you about my concern of Christian conservatives?
I've heard you talk about it, and I have the same concern. I don't get it.
We have Christian conservatives, not all, but I am amazed at the number of people that I've talked to who would identify themselves as Christian conservatives who are sitting out the election or don't wish to because, you know, well, they think about it as a presidential election cycle, and they're not fans of President Trump. They're not fans of Kamala Harris. And so they would just as soon sit this out. And it just, it kind of leaves me, as the Brits would say, gobsmacked. Okay. You know, that's the way I would look at it. Okay.
Well, I've been hearing the same things, and the comment that I get that drives me bananas is when they say, well, God's in charge. And it reminds me of the old joke about the town that's flooding and the family sitting on top of a roof, waiting for God to save them, and three rowboats come by and offer them a ride in a helicopter. And then when the guy gets to heaven because he drowns, God says, well, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
And he says, I'd like to know the same thing. And he says, well, I sent you three rowboats. This whole thing that God is in charge, I get that. Believe me, I'm a Christian. I get it.
I get it, too.
But I don't understand. Do you really think that, like, we send missionaries, churches send missionaries all over the world to spread the word, right?
Yeah, and that is something that you are doing that is being active, right? You are actively doing something. You yourself are doing something, and yet there's a percentage of Christian conservatives, in my opinion, that just want to be passive and sit back, and that somehow the great conditions that they're hoping for will be just magically put in place without any human action whatsoever.
It's nuts that they don't see the irony in that, that the church has raised money to send missionaries around the world, and yet you don't want to vote because you don't like Donald Trump. Look, I get it. You don't want to have lunch with him. I get it. Okay. But what's the alternative?
Yeah, it's a binary choice right now. And my biggest concern, though, is how the lack of that kind of turnout on conservative Christians ends up hurting the state elections, your local elections, and you end up, you're ceding territory then to, you know, arguably a team that doesn't have your best interest at heart. Just saying.
Do I have a chance to make some comments here before you got to go?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. First comment, I always knew Ron Smith was a smart guy. But that interview you just did with him, and I had a chance to talk to him a couple times in the last few weeks, I don't know hardly anyone. In fact, I can't think of anyone. Herman's great on this stuff. Don Weston great on this. I can't think of anyone whose depth of knowledge on all of the important topics locally, not just in our county, but within the state, and his historical understanding of the progressive movement, and I don't mean that in a political sense, but how things have progressed to get us where we are today, the fact that he understands it, can explain it, and knows the history of it, it encourages me to think, here's someone who's running for office, not because he's got a personal vendetta. Here's a guy who actually cares. I was blown away at that interview. First of all, thank you for having him on as long as you did, because I know those can kind of go quick. I had no idea about that depth of knowledge. Next time I see him, I'm just going to shake his hand, because he's obviously done the homework.
Yeah.
And I'm impressed by that. The last thing I just want to say is, when I think about this election, I'm thinking about my great-uncle Ted, my mom's uncle. He survived the Battle of Midway. He was on the SS Orleans, and he died in Guadalcanal, I think, like a month later. And I keep this picture fresh in my mind whenever we come up to an election. I'm imagining his shipmates loading shells, manning the gun, you know, everything that they're doing, just to try to survive. Not that that battle was going to win something or lose something, but you have all of those men at the time on a ship fighting for their very life. And there are people listening to you right now who probably haven't registered to vote, or they're saying, well, I don't like Trump, I'm not going out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, anyone within earshot now, if you can't think of anyone in your own family that gave their life during some war to keep this country, to keep liberty alive.
And you can't take the time or don't wish to take the time to grab a piece of paper and mark some circles? Really?
It's just picturing. He was young. He was in his early 20s.
Yeah.
Loading shells. The boat is sinking, trying to save his shipmates and himself all the way to the very end. So, people, I'm telling you, you got to get out. It matters. I don't want to hear anymore from Christians telling me that, well, God's in charge. He is. And he's given you the will to vote, so get out there and do something about it. Thanks, Bill.
All right. Well put. Thank you very much, Matt. 11 minutes after 8. Kevin Starrett standing by, and we will talk about some other issues popping up in the news of quite interest, especially the Department of Defense and some information coming out. Kevin will join me here in a couple of minutes. Quarter after 8, the smell of cordite in the morning. We love that. Kevin Starrett rejoins us, and he is the head cook, bottle washer, and, well, he's just the dude at Oregon Firearms Federation, OregonFirearms.org. Kevin, welcome back. We are here to talk a little bit about a Department of Defense directive that has been making the rounds on the dark and the not-so-dark web, and it makes for some interesting reading. How are you doing this morning, huh? Welcome back.
I'm well. Thank you, Bill.
Yeah. This is something that has been sent to me. I read some articles about this that are concerned that it would appear the Department of Defense is starting to look at American citizens as potentially the enemy. I'm not a real fan of that kind of view. Of course, if they're looking at us as the enemy, there may be a good reason, because maybe we should be looking at them as the enemy. I don't like saying this. But let's take a look at this this directive, and this was dated effective September 27th. This was on the Harris-Biden administration watch here. What is it reading? How does it read to you?
Well, you know, I don't take from it that the Department of Defense is starting to look at civilians as potential enemies. I take it as this has been their position for a long time.
Oh.
And as with most government documents, this one's fairly opaque and requires that you refer back to 50 other documents, which require that you refer back to 70 other documents. But it is so kind of casually mentions the use of Department of Defense assets in assisting local law enforcement in places where civilians could be killed, and not killed because, you know, because of an emergence of a natural disaster or something, but killed by the Department of Defense assets in conjunction with local law enforcement.
And maybe I should read this first, okay? And I'll just read it on the air, this particular subsection C here. It says, assistance in responding with assets with potential for lethality or any situation in which it is reasonably foreseeable that providing the requested assistance may involve the use of force that is likely to result in lethal force, including death or serious bodily injury. It also includes all support to civilian law enforcement officials in situations where a confrontation between civilian law enforcement and civilian individuals or groups is reasonably anticipated. Such use of force must be in accordance with DODD 5210.56, potentially as further restricted based on the specifics of the requested support. Now, that this is the issue which has been kind of like lighting up the web, you know, in the conspiracy world, so to speak. Like, is this indicative that they're, you know, thinking about us getting a little sporty, we the people? I don't know.
Well, you know, I mean, it's so casually included in here as though it isn't anything out of the ordinary for them to be for the DOD assets, which are listed in another document, which, of course, you're going to have to go to read that other document, 72 pages of that, to find out what they consider their assets. But whatever their assets are, if the Department of Defense has assets that it's providing to local law enforcement to potentially kill American civilians. This is something that, whatever its intent is, this should be something that should be explored in a little greater depth. And it was very strange to listen to Harris talking on the Fox interview, which was basically 25 minutes of her saying Donald Trump is Hitler in response to every question about what she would do, saying Donald Trump is going to use the American military against civilians, which then you look at this directive, which comes out under the Harris regime, which discusses the use of the Department of Defense against American civilians in such casual terms that it's almost assumed that, like, this is the way it always is. And of course, under the Harris regime, American civilians who were burning down cities around the country were not responded to at all with force.
In fact, were given a pass. In fact, she even campaigned or, you know, promoted to get bail for some of the people who were arrested in these crimes.
Right, but the entire mantra of this administration and the left in Oregon and the left nationwide is that we need to be prepared to gun down the militias that are coming. You know, we have this hysterical, and by hysterical, I don't mean funny. I mean hysteria of, you know, armed militias being trucked into North Carolina to shoot FEMA employees and setting America up for the annihilation of anybody who is perceived to not be in lockstep with the left agenda. And it would be interesting to have people who maybe are more knowledgeable than am I explain this and explain why we shouldn't be concerned about it. But so far, I haven't heard any explanation that really puts me at ease.
Yeah, the question that is being posed out there, and I don't have a complete answer for this. I was just hoping that maybe you had a take on it. But with the Department of Defense reissuing this, and also, by the way, doing it quietly, they didn't want to make a big deal, but it would appear to be expanding the use of lethal force with the Department of Defense partnering with law enforcement in a community. That's kind of how I read it. I could be absolutely off base on this, but maybe this is where, you know, we're going to have to go to work and read the 50 other supporting documents that would be connected with this this rather opaque order that I read, you know, just a couple of minutes ago.
Well, I mean, no matter what their interpretations may be out there, the paragraphs preceding that say defense intelligence components may provide personnel to assist the federal department or agency or a state or local law enforcement agency. Now, that I don't think that's that confusing.
That's like your sheriff or your police department, right?
Well, precisely. And if the sheriffs can call on the Department of Defense to deal with what they perceive to be a threat, obviously each individual sheriff will be making a decision about what they consider a threat to be. But certainly, in, you know, I would not want the sheriff of Multnomah County determining what a civilian threat is, because obviously in Multnomah County, Antifa and Black Lives Matter rioters are given a pass, which makes you wonder, because of the regularity of those, the rareness of those people being charged or prosecuted after being arrested, You have to wonder how many of those people may have some special arrangement with the state as well. You know, and it you don't want to get too far out on a limb with you know, your...
Well, it kind of makes me... I know it's not Conspiracy Theory Thursday, but every day is a conspiracy theory day. I can't help it. But you can't help but think of Ray Epps over at... you know, the January 6th riot, right? That sort of thing. And, you know, he's the one calling for, you know, get in the race, get in there, do all this other stuff. And they just kind of lay a velvet glove, you know, on him, right?
Exactly. And he's the most obvious example. But we've seen for years now, things quieted down a little bit, and they will heat up again soon with the election coming.
Yeah, I figure that there is going to be some, that things are going to get sporty after the election, no matter who wins it. One way or the other, it's going to be an interesting time. I really do.
I think we'll see it leading up to the election. I don't see how it's avoidable. I mean, this is the tactics of the left. The left has their useful idiot stormtroopers, who are the Antifa types, who go out there and wreak all this havoc and rarely are held accountable. And it's like, okay, is it just that the left is just very soft on these people, or do some of these people who get arrested and then quietly get released? I mean, look, the governor of Oregon has on her staff a person who was arrested at an Antifa riot. And after being arrested, not only were the charges dropped, but the Republicans in the legislature helped pass a bill that basically legalized her behavior. Now, that could just be that, you know, Kotek is deeply in bed with Antifa, which I firmly believe. Or what about all these other
people? And moderate, and I would add that moderate Republicans or agenda-based Republicans are in bed with Tina Kotek, too.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you should say that, because I got an email yesterday from a Republican House rep, which was kind of a campaign email because it's election season. Mm-hmm. And in it, he included a screenshot of a letter that was produced that was signed by a police agency, like a police union, and former House rep Ron Noble. Ron Noble had been a police officer. I believe he was actually the head of ORCOPS, which is one of the, you know, police organizations. And when Ron Noble was Republican office in 2021, he essentially rubber stamped every bill that Janelle Bynum, or virtually every bill that Janelle Bynum came up with, you know, her anti-cop bills.
Right.
And
by the way, and Bynum's, of course, running for Congress right now.
Right. And in a debate that she just had with Chavez de Remer, she made that point. And she made the point that, hey, you're criticizing my positions, but your Republican Ron Noble agreed to all of them. Well, in this screenshot of this letter that this legislator put out, Ron Noble categorically denies it. But 5 minutes of looking at bills that Bynum sponsored in 2021 show Noble not only voting for them, but co-sponsoring them, in some cases carrying them. And I mean, one of the bills that I found, and I didn't look very hard, one of the bills that I found very quickly was her bill that made it illegal to publish mugshots. And there were a whole host of bills that, you know, I would perceive to be anti-police in that year. And everyone I could find, Ron Noble co-sponsored, you know, and so he's categorically denying it. But the fact is, it's true.
Well, I didn't mean to make it a screed on the Republicans, but, you know, the agenda based Republicans are something that I've had a concern with for quite some time. You too. I know we've had, you know, several because I really do look at, you know, it's not even Democrat versus Republican in Oregon as much as it is. Are you an agenda based politician or are you a non agenda based politician? That's really the difference that I see, you know, right now.
Well, I think that these things are actually connected because, you know, what does a Department of Defense directive have to do with Oregon legislators? Well, it would seem like kind of a reach, except that just, I guess it was 2 years ago, Daisha Graber, who is a far left House rep, introduced a bill that was actually written by some well-known Washington leftists. I mean, Mary McCord, who's a militant far-left anti-cop activist and attorney who wrote this bill. And it purported to deal with militias. And what it actually dealt with, the need to control militias, what it actually dealt with was criminalizing any time, you know, two people got together to protect their property with firearms. And this bill was supported. It passed, of course, but it was supported by Republicans like Kevin Mannix and Charlie Conrad, who mercifully is on his way out. And in fact, Kim Wallen claimed that she opposed the bill because the penalties weren't harsh enough. So this stuff distills right down this kind of behavior and activity where we're going to use law enforcement or force assets against Americans. And then we have to decide at what point exactly are these people a threat? You know, it's like, are they an armed militia coming down in trucks to kill FEMA employees? Or are they a couple of guys standing in front of their store protecting it against Antifa rioters? And if you look at Graber's bill, it was quite clear who it was directed at because in the testimony, it named the people it was after. It named people like the Proud Boys and specifically avoided any left-wing rioters, and in fact, exempted certain behaviors that are popular amongst left-wing rioters and disturbers. And what happens is that you get people like Mannix, who for years has been pretending to be a conservative, voting in favor of this stuff, and people like Wallen saying, well, it doesn't go far enough. So there's a connection here. This is not really that tangential.
Hmm. Kevin Starr at Oregon Firearms Federation, we were talking about the kind of this broad web of state influence here, possible, with Department of Defense Directive 5240.01. And some are thinking that this is a stealth expansion of military intelligence powers. And this, of course, in life or death domestic scenarios. And the reason why I think it's really important to talk about this right now is that yesterday we had the Great American Shakeout, right? We had the big Oregon Shakeout here. And everyone's talking about, the big one if that were to happen. Tell me that wouldn't be a life or death domestic scenario. And do we really want military intelligence powers involved in such response to such matters? Just saying.
Well, exactly. And that's clearly the direction things are going. And as I said, it may be that someone will come along and say, no, here's why this is perfectly reasonable and in accordance with our historical laws and stuff. But so far, I haven't heard it. And I would very much like, when I look at this kind of thing and see how powers have been abused, and I mean, for a very long time, the state has abused its powers. I mean, you and I have talked about the murder of this guy Malinowski in Arkansas, which has gone completely unpunished. You know, a guy is flat out, straight up murdered by the ATF, a guy who did nothing wrong, and if he did do something wrong, could have been quietly arrested at his job running a major airport, and instead they kick in his door after taping over his doorbell camera, shoot and kill him, and then at 6 o'clock in the morning,
yeah,
then drag his wife out in a nightgown to sit in the police car for 4 hours while he bleeds to death. And this has happened. And now this has already gone into the memory hole. And this is just a few months ago when this happened. So the state's misuse of its power and its force, this is not conjecture. This is happening all the time. I mean, how many people are sitting in jail for having simply been in Washington on January 6th or stood in front of an abortion clinic?
Or being invited in by the police at January 6th and then being charged with a felony, ultimately, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in other words, so when you see the Department of Defense just quietly, renewing this and putting some changes into it, I think we're right to be more than a little suspicious, because however any kind of law, remember the January 6th, the people were attacked essentially using an Enron-era law, about the delay of a procedure, et cetera, having to do with shredding of papers, that kind of thing. And yet that's not how the state used it. So don't think that they wouldn't be willing to abuse this, because we already see them abusing people even right now, Kevin. Hey, Kevin, let me grab a quick call here before we take off here. But like I said, we don't have the conclusions at this point. It's going to take more study and maybe talking with some attorneys about this. And hello. Hi, good morning, caller. You're with Kevin Starrett. Who's this? Hello?
Criminal. I'm not a felon. Never been in prison.
Uh-huh.
And yet I went to a Trump.
Okay, one more time on that. Your phone's cutting in and out there, sir.
I am not a felon, never been to prison.
Uh-huh.
Not a criminal, no criminal record. Yet I tried to buy a handgun last year, and I am under the international terrorist watch list because I went to a Trump rally. This is Bismarck.
Oh, Bismarck. Wow. Okay. Now, are you at?
I have been denied my right to buy a firearm. How do I fix this?
Okay, now, how do you know you're on the terrorist watch list? Did they tell you that?
Yes. So Oregon State Police said you are not allowed to buy a gun because you are on the terrorist watch list. When I went to Good Guys Guns to buy a handgun,
uh-huh,
they denied me through that.
But they specifically told you that. Wow.
On a text.
On a text?
Yes. And then I went and did my own criminal background check. And it's right there on my criminal background check. No criminal record, but I am a terrorist.
Okay.
How do you fix that, sir?
Kevin, have you ever heard of such a thing like that?
Oh, sure. I mean, this is the most common call and email that we get here, is people being denied firearms purchase. And in some cases, I mean, recently, now what the state police are doing is and this is almost a year now that they've been doing this, is saying we will no longer recognize expungements. Well, in Oregon, an expungement is treated as though whatever your conviction was never happened. And so why do the state police even have records of this? Well, the state police have records of this because a lawyer from the DOJ gave them these records. And now they're claiming that this was an FBI order. Well, we've started making requests for any communication that the state police have had with the FBI indicating that the FBI has something to do with this. And the reports that we're getting, and none of this is confirmed yet, this is being addressed, believe me, is that the FBI is saying, no, we have nothing to do with this. And so every excuse that the state police can use, and keep in mind, I'm not talking about the cops out on the road. I'm talking about the civilian employees under the directive of Tina Kotek. Any excuse they can use to deny a firearms purchase, they're using. And my belief is that, or certainly the delays as well, mm-hmm. are being used to, in hopes that Measure 114 will take effect at the appeals level, at which point no firearms transfers will occur after that. And anybody who's been waiting will just be out of luck.
What would you suggest to Bismarck right now, though, given that he's supposedly, the way I've heard it, that God help you if you're on the terrorist watch list, because unless you're, you know, a wealthy individual with lots of political juice, it's tough to get off of that.
Bill, Tulsi Gabbard is on the terrorist watch list.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Ted Kennedy was on the terrorist watch list. This is one of the tools that the state uses and then puts you in a position of how do you combat this? If your only argument is with the Oregon State Police, then you potentially could deal with that on a statewide level. What are the chances of this person getting any kind of justice when dealing with feds like this? And this is why I know I sound sometimes like, you know, a raving lunatic about this, but this is very, very real. You know, these kind of abuses
are very real. And I'm very disturbed.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
One more thing before you hang up there, Bill.
Yeah.
Monday, did you see the two black jet fighters fly into town?
No, I did not. I was out on the coast. I was out on the coast on Monday.
Okay, well, just so anybody knows, it's a question. They were both black. They had red stars on their wings, and they were Russian MiGs. Were they Russian or were they Chinese? Did anybody else? And would anybody tell me why would two black Russian MiGs come to Medford and land and get gas?
Well, I think it's diversity and inclusion, if that's true. If that is true, and you saw what you thought you saw. Bismarck, I'm sorry about your truck.
I know what I saw. I could hit him in my house. I could hit him with an arrow.
Okay, well, I would be curious if anybody else saw that, too. All right? Appreciate the call. Wow. Well, see, that's a completely different that even raises the bar if he saw what he saw. I don't know. Kevin, what interesting times we live in. All right?
Well, you know, there was a time when a conversation like that we would immediately dismiss, right?
I can't dismiss it. I just didn't see it. So did anybody see the Russian? For all I know, there could have been an air show. Okay, so I do want to be, you know, fair about those kind of things. And they do stuff like that. But if anybody else saw the MiGs or you got a picture of it, let us know. Okay? All right. We appreciate that. Kevin, I'll tell you what. If I know you, and I think I do, I think you're going to stay on this DOD Directive 5240. Is there... You know, anybody that I wonder if there's anybody legally that could take a look at this and maybe do a dive. Do you know anybody that might be good at doing deeper research on this particular expansion?
I'd have to give that some thought. I mean, obviously, our attorneys are pretty busy with more local matters.
Yeah.
This is kind of obscure stuff. It would have to be someone with a lot of experience dealing with you know, the military.
Yeah,
and I'll give that some thought. But obviously, we've got some issues very close to home with our own state police and their behavior and the complete refusal on the part of the people we hired to protect us to actually investigate this or look into it or respond in any way.
All right. Kevin Starr at Oregon Firearms, OregonFirearms.org. We appreciate the take, as always, and thanks for bringing this up. A lot of other people were peppering me with this same story, so I thought we would at least... you know, take a little dip in that pool, okay? You take care.
Thank
be well.
Bill.
It's 8:38, KMED, 99.3 KBXG. You know, I was talking with Ron Smith last hour, and he was waxing poetic in not a good way about Senate Bill 762, talking about people that had been losing their insurance or having just amazing increases in the cost. Now, there are people there to help you. One of them would be Steve Yancey at Sky Park Insurance. Sky Park Insurance is an amazing place because it's an independent, not just one insurance line through there. that, you know, he works to, well, get you the best deal possible with many, many different companies, different companies. You know, they, sure, it could be Progressive, can be Foremost, all sorts of places, all right, all sorts of places. And one company may be better on your home insurance. Another might be better on your car insurance. Another one might be better on life. You know, it's not one place is able to help you out. But with Steve, he's the clearinghouse that can help you out. Call him at 261-5444, 261-5444. Get a quote. Doesn't cost anything. Doesn't take very long. He'll answer the phone here right now. 261-5444 or skyparkins.com.
At Sky Park, we make insurance easy.
The Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
All right, we can put one conspiracy theory to rest. This has to do with the MiGs.
Well, I'm a bit of a sky watcher.
And by the way, Ed, let me introduce you first, because this is the man who fools everybody on the Diner 62 Real American Quiz. That's Brian Coppedge.
Right.
Okay.
Hey, I've got food out there for you, too, by the way. Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah. So anyway, the MiGs, I've noticed them flying around. And, you know, what I've heard, and it's pretty reliable, and I've seen them for years. It's I've heard that it's a husband and wife that obviously have money. And
nobody has MiGs on private MiGs without having a lot of money.
Right.
Of course, nobody even has a Piper without a lot of money. But
exactly. And I guess they fly them around occasionally. I've seen them. I don't know. It seems like I've seen them for the last 5 years, like once or twice a year.
So this is not Red Dawn.
I don't believe so. But as far as the little
birds,
yeah, yeah. All right. But as far as the little red stars on the wings, I don't know if, I mean, I haven't gotten that close to see that, but if that's on there, then, you know, you would think that that would be kind of a red flag for like other military jets,
maybe it's Macy's. Maybe it's Macy's.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah, it could be the Macy's MiG.
It could be.
But Macy's has a red star, right? Yeah, yeah. I've been looking at Scuba Steve next door.
Yeah, I was kind of looking at you like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. All right.
Anyway, food's coming up.
Okay, we appreciate it. We also have a Diner 62 quiz coming up, too.
That one's a pretty easy one, but sometimes I think they're easy.
Brian thinks it's easy. We'll see about that. We shall see about that. By the way, before we get to your calls, and I will get to your calls here in just a moment, we've had such serious conversation, especially we were talking about the Department of Defense directives with Kevin Starrett. And we need a dad joke. Dad joke of the day. And that is sponsored by Two Dogs Fabricating on Bryan Way off Sage Road in Medford. And if you have dad jokes, go to twodogsfab.com, submit them, and maybe I can use your joke, all right? And they have an amazing blowout sale on their four remaining Delco trailers. You're going to save so much money. 3 7x14 dump trailers, 1 7x20 equipment trailer, marked down really low, really good deals. Stop by and check them out. And that would be Bryan Way off Sage Road in Medford, Two Dogs Fabricating. Today's dad joke, hey, if a child refuses to nap, are they guilty of resisting arrest? I like that dad joke. They make you smile a little bit, right? Thank you for that dad joke. It's 8:47. Let me go to the gentleman in Cave Junction. Hello. How you doing this morning?
Good morning. Keith here.
Hi, Keith.
Regarding earthquakes, and I was not aware of yesterday's great shakeout thingamajigger. I was up in Seattle dealing with traffic.
Mm-hmm.
But earthquakes have three components. They're either a dip slip, strike slip, or an oblique, which is a combination of the two former.
Okay.
A dip slip is basically a drop down the slope of the fracture. A strike is the length going like laterally on the length.
Right.
Or an oblique is basically a 45 component. And we are in an area that has a 300 to 400 year cycle historically, which we are well overdue for a 9-0. Up north and across the entire Juan de Fuca system, it's more of a 700 year cycle, and this is all due to studies that were done by geologists.
You're just bottom line here is that your main point is that any second it could happen, right?
No. Actually, this is my point. This is everything else was preliminary.
Oh.
A 9-0 will have two components. It'll be a compression and a sign. A compression is pressure. Mm-hmm. You will have a 150-foot change in your location.
Oh.
A sign component, you will have a 30-foot up or down component. Where it comes to rest is happen chance.
Well, you know, to have your house or your building or wherever you are move 150 feet one direction or the other back and forth and then 30 feet up and down, yeah, that's pretty big, isn't it?
I would honestly have, I've asked you this before and I don't know if you looked into it. Nick Sentner from Central Washington U is fascinating and he has online lectures for the layman. And what? I don't know if he does interviews.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Send me his name again, or I'll listen on the podcast and get back to you on that. It sounds like something I wouldn't want to check out. Wow, that is... I can't even imagine the house moving back and forth like that. I mean, that's like so much destruction that would come from that, just the inertia of that. Right?
Your trees, the top of a tree slapping the ground. I had it described to me by a gentleman in Anchorage when he's gone now, but he was alive in 1964, and he said the Sitka spruce treetops hit the ground.
Wow, that is something to keep in mind. I'm glad I cut down my firs. Or my, okay, not fir trees, but whatever. They're pretty trees. Let me go to the next one. Thank you very much for that. Hello, line two, welcome. Who's this?
This is Miner Dave. I got two comments. I voted.
How about one? Because I got just a few minutes. One.
I voted last week to make America great again. I turned my ballot into the county drop box. Mm-hmm. So I didn't trust the mail because from here it's got to go to Reading and then back. But and then Ron Smith, he's going to make Josephine County great again.
Well, I hope so. I hope so. If that's because he talked an interesting talk this morning, that's for sure. Thank you, Dave. We got to grab another line or two, and then we're going to have to do the Diner 62 quiz. Good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Hi, Bill. This is Rembrandt.
Hello, Rembrandt.
Those so-called MiGs are T-38 Talons, possibly out of flying with the Navy aggressors out of Fallon, or the Air Force out of Beale, and the Navy ones were BC-13.
Oh.
So that's straight out.
And they are not, so they are not anything...
They are not MiGs.
Not MiGs. Are they meant to look like them?
Yeah, they're aggressors. I've flown with them, so...
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense then. Thank you very much. 770-5633. Hi, KMED. Who's this? Hello?
Hello, Bill?
Yeah.
Hi, Bill. Hey, just to follow up on that, guys, that just talked about the T-38 trainers.
Yes.
You might find it interesting that the Oregon National Guard are the very first to receive brand new F-15EX fighters.
Really?
And it stands to reason that they would bring in these aggressor aircraft to do some training with them.
Have a little bit of fun, right? You got to see what they can do.
Yeah, exactly. So anyways, yeah, I'm that other guy, he was correct. I've seen him out there. I've seen him on the runway at the Medford Airport. Never more than one, but I've seen one out there multiple times.
All right. Well, see, it's good that we can put, you know, out of all the conspiracies out there and things to be, hyperventilate about that, right?
Exactly.
All right. Whew. Thank you. See, I can rest easily this weekend before we talk tomorrow in Joe County. By the way, tomorrow, 12 noon. It's when that rally is going to be happening in front of the Josephine County Republican Party headquarters. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Good morning. This is Holly Morton actually calling. We are really excited about having you in town tomorrow at noon. That's going to be a great event.
Great.
Thank you for the other thing I just wanted to mention, we had a forum last night for all the commissioners, and Ron Smith did an absolutely fantastic job, and so did Chris Barnett. I mean, both of these guys are going to be fantastic guys, commissioners. We're really happy about it. Things went well. I was surprised.
I was going to ask you if there are any surprises there.
I was surprised Pat Fahey didn't come across that well. I had always heard, he's this great guy. He just doesn't come across that way to me.
Well, the way it's been described to me is that Fahey is actually well-liked within the community.
He's liked. But it's one thing to be a nice guy and to tell everybody that, you know, once this is over, we're all going to be neighbors, we're all going to be friends, this is going to be wonderful. But, you know, the most important thing is to have really some substantive ideas. And I think Ron Smith was fantastic. And so was Chris Barnett. Very good. They're going to be wonderful.
All right. Very good. Thanks for the report, Holly. We'll catch you tomorrow at noon. OK, it is 8:53 and change. Good morning. Hi, who's this? Randy's cooking up pretty good food over at Diner 62 also. By the way, crispy sandwiches back on the menu, too. And, yep, they'll put avocado on anything. You want avocado on oatmeal? Talk to Randy. He'll take care of you. Hey, different strokes. That's what we do here. Let's go to Peggy. Peggy's up here first. Hey, Peggy, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing okay.
All right. Peggy, here's what is going on today on the Diner 62 Real American Quiz. It was Tomorrow in History, October 19th, 1985. Blockbuster opens its first store, October 19th. First Blockbuster video rental store opens at a time when most stores were small scale. They were the first big ones. 8,000 tapes displayed on shelves. The first store of success, Blockbuster expanded rapidly, eventually becoming one of the largest providers of movies, all right? But they filed for bankruptcy in 2010. Blockbuster, founded by David Cook, and Cook saw the potential in this video rental business. So the question is, though, in what city did Blockbuster open its first store? Where was the first Blockbuster? Was it A, Los Angeles, B, Dallas, C, Fort Lauderdale, D, New Orleans, or E, Atlanta? Which one?
Atlanta.
Was it Atlanta? No, it was not Atlanta. Sorry about that. Okay, all right. So we take that out of contention, and let's go to John. Hello, John. It's either Los Angeles, Dallas, Fort Lauderdale, or New Orleans. First Blockbuster opened where?
Is it Los Angeles?
Is it Los Angeles? It is not Los Angeles. Let me go over to Joel. Hey, Joel. Not Los Angeles. Either Dallas, Fort Lauderdale, or New Orleans. First Blockbuster opened where? Let me try Gregory. Gregory, we're talking the very first Blockbuster opened in either Dallas, Fort Lauderdale, or New Orleans. What do you say?
I'm going to say Fort Lauderdale.
Fort Lauderdale. Wasn't that either. Let me go to the next line. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
This is Pete, North Valley.
Hello, Pete in North Valley. New Orleans or Dallas? First Blockbuster.
Dallas.
It was Dallas. Yes, it was. Blockbuster first opened in Dallas. David Cook had previously owned a business that provided computer software there, so he left Blockbuster. But anyway, Blockbuster acquired by Viacom in 1994, and they ended up filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection by 2014. Last of the company-owned stores had closed, and there is one independently-owned Blockbuster left in Bend. I think that is the only one that is still open at the moment, okay? So pretty cool story, and all right. Well, it's kind of sad to see it gone, but I remember just be kind and rewind, all that kind of stuff. So why don't you just hang on, and we'll be right with you and get you all set up, okay? Have a wonderful weekend. We will catch you Monday. A lot going on. This is KMED, KMED HD1 Eagle Point Medford, KBXG Grants Pass. Town Hall News is coming up next, followed by Markley Van Camp and Robbins and the Jukebox.